Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hola, and welcome to The Bodcast, Bustle's podcast for radical self-love, fat acceptance, and visibility for all identities. I'm Marie Southard Ospina, and today I'm being joined by Plump Princess, one of the most renowned models in the worlds of all things BBW and fat fetishism, two things we'll be talking about in much more detail later on. Now, Plump Princess is actually one of the first people I came across maybe 5 years ago who really encouraged me to embrace my fatness in more of a sexually empowered way and learning to love my body in that sexual manner rather than just passively accepting it. And luckily, today we're going to be talking about many, many facets of fat sexuality and fetishism. So, Plump Princess, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Marie. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you.
Do you kind of want to tell listeners a little bit more about yourself before we jump in?
Sure, yeah. For those of you who aren't familiar with what I do, I am a web model who deals mostly in fat fetish pinup style modeling. I've been doing it, oh my god, it's so embarrassing to say this, for almost 10 years now.
It's no, crazy. It means
over
like,
10 years.
It's been... not embarrassing, it's awesome.
I've been doing this for a while. Yeah, and I am definitely someone who considers my sexuality related to my size very, very important to who I am and my identity. So I'm very, very happy to be discussing this topic with you today and hopefully shed some light on the whole thing with everyone else.
Yes, definitely. So, Plump Princess, one segment that I really like to do every week is called Words Matter, where I kind of dissect terms like BBW and curvy and fat and whatever it may be with the guests.
Yes.
People are often referring to things like feedism, feederism, a lot of terms that you guys might not all be super familiar with. So before we delve into the deep stuff, Plump Princess and I figured we could give a little 101 on the terminology you'll likely be hearing repeatedly throughout this. Do you want to start by telling people what feedism is?
Feedism, or feederism, basically is when someone is engaged in finding the act of eating or feeding or giving someone food sexual. So you get some sexual pleasure by either being the feedie, which is someone who enjoys the eating, or being a feeder, which is someone who enjoys the act of feeding the person the food.
Yes. And I think it's important to note that there's no gender to either of these.
That's right.
You know, men and women can both be feeders. Men and women can both be feedies, contrary to popular belief.
That's right. Yes, it's very interchangeable.
Yes. And there's also gainers who might not necessarily find sexual gratification in the food itself or in eating, but more just through the actual process of gaining weight and cultivating more fat.
That's
and,
right.
You know, people do this independently, but they also do it sometimes with partners. So both people in the relationship would be gaining weight.
That's right.
And do you want to tell people about FAs?
FAs, yeah, it's a cute little term. It stands for fat admirer. This is generally given to men, however, it can be a woman as well. And this just means someone who admires or has a preference, I would say, for someone who is bigger or plus size.
Yes. And, you know, in the same way, guys, that someone might have a preference for thin individuals, for redheads, for, you know, bodybuilders, for dad bods, whatever it might be. and then there's BBW, SSBBW, and BHM. And BBW, well, people might have heard it in that Drake song.
Of course.
Yeah,
there's more to it than that,
most
right?
That's right. I like my girls BBW. Yeah. Type that want to suck you dry and then eat some lunch with you. Yeah, so thick that everybody else in the room is so uncomfortable.
ass on Houston, Texas.
How do you define that? Just like
Claire Hugs. Well, BBW stands for Big Beautiful Woman, simply. So it stands for any woman who is bigger. So that could mean chubby to, you know, like very fat. And then SSBBW is super size, big, beautiful woman. So that would usually in the industry, it's a woman who is over 350 pounds. Usually they start getting like super size. So there isn't really like a, you know, a legit definition for that. It's more
it's basically just even fatter.
Exactly. Just, yeah, bigger than your average bigness, I suppose.
And yeah, and BHM is the male equivalent, big, handsome man. As we've been mentioning, it's not, this isn't like a gender-based thing. There are men who also relish in their fatness or women who actively pursue fat men. And those dudes are big, handsome men.
They are.
Plum Princess briefly mentioned that it's, there's something called feedism that's also referred to as feederism. I personally tend to prefer the word feedism. I think it removes the focus on the feeder, but I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Out of these terms, would you say there are any that best represent your own sexuality?
Oh, considering I'm 5'11 and about 400 pounds, I would consider myself an SSBBW at this point. I am not a gainer, necessarily. However, I do enjoy gaining once in a while. Usually when someone defines themselves as a gainer, it means that they're actively gaining. And they usually are doing it on purpose. It's something they're doing on purpose. Yes. Whereas with me, I tend to kind of just let my body naturally, if I gain, that's awesome. But if I lose weight, I'm cool with that too. But when I do gain, I do enjoy it. And I do, love it when it happens, but I'm not always actively trying to gain weight, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely a feedie at times as well.
Sweet. All right. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how you kind of discovered the world of BBW modeling, of feedism, gaining, all this stuff?
When I was in school, I was going to university, I actually had a live journal. I don't know if any of you remember what live journal
was. I never had one, but I remember.
Okay, so I had a live journal, and I actually, my best friend at the time was really into photography, and she would often, we'd do like little photo shoots together for fun, and I would put them up on my live journal. And at this time, I was probably about 19 years old, and I had just started coming into my own confidence and not only acceptance, but, you know, embracing my body at this time. And I was going to school, I was putting myself through school, which is, you know, a rough thing to do sometimes. Yes. And I noticed on my live journal that a long time ago, when you wanted to upload photos, you had to upload them to something called Photo Bucket, you know, that would host your photos that you could link onto your, you know, your live journal, whatever. And you were only allowed so much bandwidth a day. And I would put up my photos and my bandwidth would like run out immediately, almost immediately, like in a couple of minutes. And it was crazy. And I was just thinking like, who is looking at these photos that, you know, my bandwidth is running out and, you know, you wouldn't be able to see my photos anymore after that. So eventually I got a message from someone and they were telling me, you know, just so you know, your photos are being linked to this, you know, forum. And they gave me the information. And at the time, I believe the forum, what was it called? It was called Fat Celebs at the time, which is now curvage.org, if you're interested in checking that out. And when I went there, I noticed that it was basically a little forum for people who are big or fat or chubby, and men who also appreciate them. And I was being linked to this, like, forum that was discussing, or sorry, this topic that was discussing, you know, like, basically people would find pictures of hot, fat girls and post them on there for people to, like, discover.
Okay.
And so I made an account, and I had always, you know, looked on the internet for, you know, chat rooms or groups associated with, you know, being a big girl, since, you know, usually you grow up feeling a little bit alone in the world, and you just wonder if there's other people like you,
and you're taught to believe that nobody will ever be attracted to your body type as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Up until, you know, this point, you kind of start thinking, oh, maybe I'll find, you know, a partner who doesn't mind that I'm big. You know, they'll see past it or they won't mind so much. But then I stumbled upon this, you know, forum, and here's all these people just, you know, reveling in it. Like they just, that's what they want. That's what they're attracted to. And that's what's important to them. And so I made an account and I let everyone know, hey guys, like, hey, that's me. This is me. These are all my photos, blah, blah, blah. And almost immediately I got contacted by a few people who ran websites, fetish fat based websites. And they were basically letting me know, you know, we can make you a website where you post photos. Obviously, they would be a little bit more, you know, sexually, you know, inclined. Suggestive. Or with, like, you know, that kind of thing. But, and people will pay to have a membership to these, you know, these photos, to access these photos. And at the time, since I was a struggling university student, I thought, well, brilliant. I was actually going to school for theater. And I thought this would give me a perfect opportunity to play a role. However, instead of on stage, it would be online, and I could kind of develop this persona and take these pictures and be this person and, you know, get paid and help me go get myself through school. So that's kind of how it all started.
You've been doing this for 10 years.
Over 10 years.
Over 10 years. And I'm really interested to know if Plump Princess has become something that you really depend on financially, and like that's kind of it's your job and it's your bread and butter.
For sure, my bread and butter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you still doing it as a labor of love, as a way to express your sexuality? Can those two things still coexist even though it's a job?
It most definitely can, and I'm very fortunate because I'm doing something that not only I enjoy doing and, you know, get paid to do, but it also allows me to express my sexuality. You know, I've always been a very openly sexual person and a little bit of a maybe attention seeker, but also exhibitionist, I suppose. You know, I always used to want to be an actress. So this is kind of, you know, my stage in a way. And I get to also, you know, incorporate my own personality into it. Even though it is a role, it is very much me. I'm not doing anything that isn't me, you know, on my website or in my content. And it also allows me to be creative, you know, doing photo shoots or thinking of, you know, sexy little situations. So
yeah, I think I saw one picture where you were like Little Red Riding Hood, and that's awesome. Like you can be any character that you want. Like
a fat, cool version of any character. A lot of the time it's fun too, because a lot of, you know, you can take characters that already exist and kind of make them into fat versions of them, which is super fun. It's just a lot of fun, and I definitely, you know, it's part of my identity now. It's definitely something I do for work, but also for pleasure.
I know that you mentioned you joined this site and started hearing about ways to post pictures and be making money off of this, but did it take a while for it to be enough and for you to kind of be known enough to survive off of it rather than just a little bit of money here and there?
No, I was actually quite lucky. When I started doing what I do, there wasn't a lot of girls doing it.
Okay.
And I was quite young. And I had, you know, I was very fortunate in having a body type, a fat body type, if you will, that was quite appealing across the board. So I happened to be quite pear-shaped, which seems to be, you know, a common attractive body type for people who are attracted to big women. A lot of them will like a pear-shaped fat woman.
Yeah.
And because I was young and, you know, pear-shaped, and there wasn't a lot of competition, and it was such a, you know, huge niche market, right away, I was doing very well.
Sweet. So before all of this, did you ever have more of like a sexual relationship with fatness, be it being attracted and empowered by your own body or by the fat bodies of others, or was this kind of the intro to it all?
this was the intro to the specificness of it, I think.
Okay.
I've always been an extremely sexual person with, you know, my own kinks that didn't necessarily have anything to do with that. Because up until this point, as much as I was very familiar and embraced my body, it wasn't something that I was utilizing in my own personal sexuality as of yet.
Okay. So something that always, I don't know if amazes is the right word, more like disturbs, but something that always disturbs me when people talk about things like gaining, BBW models, fetishism, etc., is the demonizing that comes with it.
Yeah.
And with the exception of this one article in Exo Jane by an anonymous writer who talks about the empowerment she feels gaining weight and actively cultivating more fatness, I've never come across anything positive. Like, there was a documentary called My Big Fat Fetish, and the end message of that was definitely, if you do this, if you actively gain weight, if you are attracted to feederistic relationships, you will regret it. You will, you know, be led to immobility and just your life will be destroyed. There was a film called Feed, which depicted all of feedism as being kind of dominated by perverse, psychologically damaged men who kidnap women, who brainwash women, force feed them to immobility. And in that movie, he like makes money off of placing bets as to when they're going to die. So there's that. And there's an episode of Strange Sex, which the title of that show suggests it all. But
yeah, okay. I've never actually watched either of these.
I don't recommend it. It's all trash.
Yeah, okay.
It's garbage. But
yeah. Doesn't sound like something I would enjoy, to be honest.
No. So from your experiences, how realistic are these depictions that we're seeing?
Well, I think that first of all, it's important to remember that in any sexual subculture, there are going to be, you know, those people who take it too far.
In any sex, though, like in completely heteronormative sex, there will still be
people who abuse it. Of course, I mean, to say that every woman who engages in gaining or, you know, feedism is going to be subjected to a controlling, you know, feeder who ultimately is going to, you know, make them immobile and destroy them is like saying that every woman who engages in a little BDSM, you know, in their regular relationship is going to end up an abused woman. You know, like it's just because you have, you know, the odd, horrible case of this, it doesn't mean that it's like that for everybody. And that goes for every single kind of sexual, you know, thing you can do with anybody. So it's important to remember that. So yeah. I think that gaining and feederism gets very demonized because it is so misunderstood, because fatness itself is such a like thing that most people are brainwashed in thinking it's bad. So then when you add this kind of, you know, I get off on being fat, it adds this level of deviancy that people immediately, you know, go to, and they just can't understand it, and therefore it's demonized, it's deviant, it's wrong. And this comes from people who don't know or understand it at all. So
it's more the reality of being a woman.
That's women in general, you know?
Yeah, it's more the reality of the experience of being a woman rather than of fetishism, in my opinion.
Exactly, I agree.
So are there other misconceptions that you've encountered about fetishism and gaining and web modeling in general?
It is sometimes difficult when you're in the feederism environment, just because a lot of girls stumble upon it before they have a sense of self-confidence a lot of the time. And I think that level of not having that confidence can make you kind of susceptible to manipulation, I suppose. And a lot of the time, I think that there's negative stigmas because women go into it and they're not ready, if that makes sense. And a lot of the time, I think a lot of women think they have to do it in order to stay relevant or to stay attractive to certain people who enjoy that about them. Mm. So, you know, if you're someone who, you know, your partner says, oh, I love it when you're gaining weight or when you get bigger, it's, you know, it can kind of feel like the same as if, you know, you have a partner who's saying, oh, I love when you've lost weight, you look better when you're thinner, you know? So it really, you really have to have a good balance, and you really have to know who you are and what you like, and it has to be something that you enjoy as well.
You are, you know, a good example, I think, of someone who is genuinely attracted to the fatness on your body, right?
Yes.
So it's, you know, your proof that it happens.
Yes. I have found over the years that there are a lot of benefits and lovely things about being fat when it comes to having sex.
Tell me about them.
Enjoyable things as well. Oh, yes, of course. I'd love to tell you about them.
Deep into your sex life.
A lot of the time when I'm describing this to people who haven't had experiences either with a fat body, having fat body, or being with a fat body, I like to remind people that, you know, when you think of, let's talk about like normal sex for a minute. When you think of a partner, and I'm a woman, you're a woman, and, you know, I'm going to talk about being a woman here for a minute.
Okay.
But when you're with your partner, a lot of the time, you know, people are attracted to, you know, breasts and butt, and those kind of things get grabbed and touched, and those are very sensual places to be touched.
Yes.
And, you know, they're very stimulating places to be touched. When you are bigger, fat, you kind of have that all over your body. So it kind of just makes, like, your senses are just kind of heightened a little bit, I find. I mean, I don't have anything to compare it to, but, like, you know, even getting my arm grabbed or having my belly grabbed can be very, very sexual and can feel very lovely. Not to mention, when you're having sex, and your body is moving back and forth from, you know, the rhythm of sex. the weight and the softness, and it just elevates everything. So when you're being kind of shunted back and forth while you're having sex, the extra weight of it kind of moves your whole body, and you feel it more. You feel it kind of all over your body. And there's just a lot of, and for your partner as well, can you imagine when you hug somebody or when you're grabbing someone just to have that softness and that, you know, that breast/butt flesh everywhere? It's just this like amazing thing for both people involved.
We as a culture are so focused on the notion that fat doesn't look good. Like, that's what we're conditioned to believe. We're conditioned that it's not attractive. And I feel like that's prevented people from realizing very simply that, like, besides all the problems with that and the fact that beauty is subjective, it just means that nobody's stopping and thinking, like, oh, wait, this actually feels really good physically.
Yeah.
Like, fat is soft and bouncy and jiggly, and you can bite into it, and it's, like, you know, it physically feels nice.
I encourage anybody, especially that has a fat body, or if you're with someone with a fat body, to, of course, after their permission, to touch them underwater. It feels amazing to touch fat underwater. It's probably one of the most hypnotic things ever. I'm just going to put that out there. But yeah, I think that we're so conditioned to think that fat equals bad and fat is ugly or fat is, you know, not attractive, that people won't even go the extra step to think about how it feels. It stops at how it looks.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women are taught to hate that part of themselves. So to, you know, sit back and actually think of the benefits or how you can actually enjoy that in your body is just, you know, most people don't even go there.
So being that you've experimented with being a feedie, did you during that time encounter worry or concern or just criticism from people that you must have been being manipulated, as is such a common misconception about it?
Considering that I exist in a community where that does occur once in a while, just because a lot of the girls who, you know, come into the community and discover this are impressionable, it's always going to be a concern for some people. Although I think that with me, I've, you know, handled myself and gone through life these past over 10 years, being very much in control of my own body, that nobody really worries about that with me. For me, it's very important personally, because I do enjoy gaining when it happens and that kind of thing. It's important for
and
me
you've
to
gained weight
balance
since you started, right? Sorry, and you've gained weight since you started like 10 years ago, right?
Yes. When I first started, I was probably around 320 pounds. Okay. And now I have around 400 pounds.
Right. Well, congratulations, since I know you like it.
Thank you. Thank you. I definitely feel a lot more connected to my body now than I did back then as well, which is very interesting.
Oh, that's something I was interested in. So, you know when a lot of people lose weight, you kind of hear them say things like, I'm so thankful for my weight loss because now I can keep up with my kids. Now I can travel. Now I can do insert word here that people think you can't do when you're fat.
Right.
And that's just something you hear, you know, just this. And I get where it all stems from. But is there anything reverse? You know, like, I'm so thankful that I've gained weight because...
Okay, yeah, definitely. And I just want to also say that I think that, you know, when you talk about weight loss and things like that, I definitely can understand, you know, not being as heavy, you would feel like a lot of things physically are a lot easier for you. So I'm not, you know, I'm not here to diss weight loss or anything like that.
Oh, no, and it's entirely people's prerogative.
What I'm saying. However, I do think that... people don't understand it because it's such a foreign concept to most people. Like, how could gaining weight feel good or make someone feel better? Like, it's very, very strange. However, I don't know. You know when women are pregnant and their breasts get bigger? Yes. And they just think, like, oh, my God, this rocks. Look at my boobs.
Yeah,
you know?
My new cleavage.
Or now big butts are a thing right now, right? So, you know, if you have, like, you know, if your butt gets bigger or something, you think, oh, yeah, my butt looks nice and big in these jeans. It's kind of the same thing when you gain weight. Sometimes when you're someone who's big and you enjoy the aesthetic of bigness and fatness, when you swell or kind of grow a little bit, it's very similar to that. So you feel kind of like you fill out a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely does.
And there is something very lovely about that. And I always relate it to feeling more goddess-like. There's a lot of different things that weight gain can signify in the right dynamic that I find very, very sensual and I take great pleasure in.
Brad, whenever I talk to anyone involved in fat positivity or body positivity, I tend to steer clear of mentioning health because, as you know, that's just the first thing people turn to when they're trashing fatness. It's just, right. Well, you're unhealthy, so I now have the right to treat you like crap.
Right.
But I do want to ask, do you have any tips for people who care about their health but still want to get fatter because that's what's best for their mental health or that's what's best for their sexuality?
Right. I do. First of all, balance is everything. So if you're someone who enjoys weight gain, I would recommend you do it slowly. Therefore, you can constantly, if that's what you want, you can constantly be gaining weight little bits at a time, and it's not going to put such a strain on your body. Also, I find that with weight gain, you have to listen to your body as well.
Yeah.
I am, like I said, I'm a very tall person. I'm, you know, 5'10", 5'11", and I have a quite large kind of build on me naturally already. So I can handle, I think, a lot more weight gain than perhaps someone who might be very short,
and
tiny, right? So it's all relative and you really have to listen to your body. I would also recommend that if you're eating a lot and that's something you enjoy and that's how you're, you know, doing your weight gain, to stay at least a little bit active, even if it's just little walks or things like that, you'll find that you
just
can
get
still
your heart going, really.
Exactly. But keep your, you know, sense of movement and, you know, your health. Make sure that's still important, you know. And so just keep moving, you know, even small little bits of movement while you're doing this, just so that your body can still remain strong while you are doing this.
And I kind of have one too, which as someone who actively wants to be fat, you know, it's it's like I don't think you can completely ignore your health. I don't think that the two go hand in hand. You know, wanting to be fat doesn't mean you don't care at all.
Exactly.
So I started learning about the difference between visceral fat, you know, the fat that wraps itself around your organs, versus subcutaneous fat, which is the jiggly stuff that you can poke and prod and grab. Right. And there are visceral fat scales that will tell you how much visceral fat you have, because that's ultimately the kind of fat that has been proven to be riskier. So it is possible, contrary to popular belief, again, for very fat people to have very little visceral fat if they just keep an eye on it. And, you know, it's not something often talked about, but if you are a person who actively wants to be fat and you still, you know, care about this stuff, and how much or how little you care about your health is totally down to you as well. You know, nobody gets to decide exactly how much you care about that. But if you're interested in it, I think one of those scales can be very useful.
Where would you find one of those scales? I actually
Amazon.
Heard of this scale.
Yes,
so.
Amazon, as with everything. So I guess on more of an end note, we've been talking about fat fetishism a lot and that word. For me, I sometimes think that the word fetish, because it's such an umbrella term, can end up belittling something that might actually be full-blown sexuality for some people, something that they wouldn't necessarily want to or that they could live without. And I wonder if that's kind of true for you to an extent.
It definitely has, and I identify with it. It is definitely a part of my being, a part of my sexuality. It isn't just something that, you know, you can indulge in once in a while and kind of, you know, compartmentalize and put away or, you know, anything like that. It's, for me, you know, the fat fetish, quote unquote fetish, definitely is my entire sexuality. And everything that I do sexually, I do as a fat woman.
Yes.
And everything, you know, and not, that's not to say that all my kinks involve fatness. However, I definitely am a fat woman and in my fat body whenever I engage in any sexual act. And so I think a lot of people like to label it as a fetish, just because it's not really been explored that much in regular culture.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think, oh, you know, if you like fat women, that's like a fetish, where it's, to me, I feel, is just a perfectly natural thing. It's just other.
Yeah.
It's not the normal thing, however, but it is an
abnormal
thing.
And that's why it gets branded as a fetish, I think, because it's assumed that it's abnormal to like fatness, be it in yourself or in other people. So it must be a fetish. It must be something worthy
exactly
of demonizing.
Exactly, when it's actually a completely primal, natural, normal thing.
Sure.
It's just not, I guess, explored or, you know, spoken about very often because of the stigma that exists around it.
The last thing that we usually do is give a little shout out to what I like to call the Body Pause Badass of the Week. And this is someone who can be working or being an activist in a facet of body positivity, fat positivity, but really making a difference, and someone who inspires you. So would you like to give a little shout out to anyone?
I, of course, would. I would love to shout out one of my personal best friends and someone who I both respect and admire so much in this community, and that is Chubby Cartwheels. So if you want to check her out, she is www.chubbycartwheels.com, or you can check out her Instagram, which is at chubbycartwheels, all one word. Her name is Shauna, and she is a plus-size fashion designer. However, she is also probably one of the most genuine people in this community who actually cares about fat activism, body positivity, and tries with her blood, sweat, and tears to make sure that all of that is considered and represented in her clothing and what she does. She's amazing. So go check her out.
And she makes mermaid leggings.
She makes mermaid leggings and mermaid shakinis.
Everything.
Gotta go check her out, you
yes.
guys. She's amazing.
Well, thank you so much again, Plump Princess. You are a delight.
You are a delight, and I am so glad I got to do this. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak about this.
And do you want to put out anything you want to plug?
You can always always check me out at www.theplumpprincess.com. I should have a website revamp actually coming up soon if you want to check that out. It should be pretty good. And you can always, if you want to talk with me or contact me, you can find me on Twitter at plump_princess.
Okay. That's awesome. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. It was awesome to be here.
As always, you can find us on iTunes and Acast, the awesome new podcast network that Bustle recently joined. Search the podcast on their site, acast.com, or download the app by searching Acast in the Apple or Android store.